News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Top of the morning to you, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is the Ides of March, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweil.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood.
Also, yesterday was Pi Day.
It was Pi Day.
314.
So at just before 2 o'clock, we celebrated at 314-159. And for our friends in Europe, they have to wait until July because 22/7 is Pi Day in Europe because they do their dates the other way.
Right.
So 22/7 is another approximation for Pi.
Right.
So we had Pi last night.
And the other day was the 15th anniversary of the release of Linux 1.0.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
What was the other one? Square Root Day we missed.
We did miss Square Root Day.
3309, right. Where the day in the month or the square root of the year. That only happens 9 times a century.
And we missed one. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, next one won't happen until 4/4/16.
Right, right. Well, our top story today is also, of course, our poll of the week. As of Monday, Microsoft's Windows Marketplace for Mobile portal is now live. At the Mobile World Conference in February, Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer had announced that their portal, and he said it would allow customers to browse and download applications using their Windows Mobile 6.5 or earlier. Now, where have we heard that sort of thing before? I don't know, somewhere, I'm sure. Until now, it's been difficult for Windows Mobile developers to get their applications into the hands of customers. Windows Marketplace for Mobile will ideally change this. It'll be in the start menu of every Windows Mobile 6.5 device. And you can search by operating system or by Pocket PC or by smartphone or whatever, whatever. You'll be able to get things like Pocket Quicken and things like that. So the Apple App Store, excuse me, the Microsoft Windows Marketplace for Mobile is now open for both of you with Zunes and those of you with Windows Mobile phones. And that leads us to our poll of the week. Every week, as you know, we do a poll at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. This week's poll says, which PDA or phone do you have? And the choices I put up are iPhone, Microsoft Mobile, Palm, other, leave an opinion, just a plain old cell phone, and I still have rotary dial.
You don't have mine.
I've already been berated. I've already been berated for not having BlackBerry on there. What else did I miss?
Well, the iPod Touch could have been included in the iPhone, which is close.
Yeah, well, it's not, except an iPod Touch doesn't do phoning.
Jitterbug.
It does Skyping.
The Jitterbug.
Ish. No,
that's
wait.
The way to go.
Not Skype. There's another company that's got voice over IP.
There's a dozen of them.
Yeah.
So far, we have about 75 votes up there. So far, just plain old cell phone is working, followed, of course, by I still have rotary dial. Of course, I know you all have things to say about this one, so after you're done leaving an opinion, click on in the little yellow box. You'll see Give Us Your Opinion. Click on that, and it will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Thank you. Where you can then put an opinion. Check out my website while you're there, AskNick.com. It's got forums and a newsletter that I put out. You can search the old newsletters, the tips and tricks, the rants and raves, the questions and answers, all that other stuff. That alone is worth $15 a year, I think. Of course, I'm a little bit prejudiced about that, and I admit it. And then join us back on the Soundbites page. But that's what we do. Oh, and don't forget, at 12:30, we have a very special guest. We will have Paul Gasparo of MapleWorks. MapleWorks Technology, it's a leader in software development outsourcing solutions with a difference. So for those of you who are who get their hackles up at the term outsourcing, you might want to listen in because there will be some interesting things this gentleman has to say. Of course, you can feel free to call us in. Call in at the numbers, you know them, 222-1180 if you're in the 585 area code, 800-295-1180, or Verizon Wireless customers, star 1180. On your Verizon wireless phone. We will go right to the phones now. We will talk to Sal from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Sal. What's your question?
Hey, I have a question. I've got a G4 flat panel iMac that I just added an Apple card to. And I've got no bars on the antenna indicator on the toolbar. And I can't connect to the my network.
Oh, you added a wireless card.
The wireless card.
One of the most common issues is not plugging the antenna into the card tight enough. You sort of have to push until you hear a snap. That means it's in, not that it broke.
Yeah, I've got that.
You know, you push too hard, then you break it.
No, I've got that. I've tried that about four or five times, and it's showing the airport is working, but the airport settings are not working. ISP is not there.
And it doesn't see the network in your airport menu.
It sees the network.
But it won't connect to it?
It won't connect to it.
Have you tried restarting your wireless router?
Yes. I've done that. I've done the reseated the card three, four times.
It's possible it's a bad card.
No, and, you know, they sent me two by accident. I have to return one. I tried them both, too.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why you got two.
What is your wireless router? Is it the Apple Airport?
Yes.
And you can connect to it with other machines, so you know that's working.
Yeah, everything I tried, even checking it said invalid password, which is not because that's not true because it's the same password. And I tried logging off from another unit.
I just had a thought.
Hey, Steve had a thought.
No. He's done for the day, folks.
What model is your base station? Is it one of the newer flat extremes?
No.
Okay. One of the problems is that some of the early airport cards, the airport B cards, were 64-bit only.
Okay.
And if you're using a 128-bit password, that may not work.
That's it.
Try turning your password off temporarily and see if you can connect in.
Okay. Yeah, that could be it because I've got a 128. Okay. I see what you mean.
Yep. So yeah, that could do it.
Yeah, and I've tried looking at a support page and talked, you know, I've updated everything I could think of. There's no firmware update for it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to use old stuff. You're supposed to buy new. But yeah, sometimes that has been a problem because the original cards were. In fact, when Airport first came out, their 64-bit was all there was in wireless, and then they added the 128-bit later.
Okay, so if I use the Airport utility and take out the password.
Yeah, just remove security temporarily, see if the thing connects in, and then if that works, try using a 64-bit password, which unfortunately lowers the security of your network, but it lets that one device on.
Now, that would be selecting it. I've got WPA2 in there.
Yeah, turn that off, or go back to WEP, lets you pick 40-bit encryption.
Okay.
You may also want to check that wireless card. They may need to send you a newer version of the card that does support 128-bit encryption.
Okay. All right. Terrific. I'll try that.
All righty.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Our next caller is Wendy from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Wendy. What's your question?
Hi, I had a question about my new computer, which isn't that new. I got it last August, and it's running Vista, which I hadn't had before.
Okay.
And I can't seem to turn off the system restore in order to do the security tango on it.
You're going into the system, in the control panel, you go into the system?
Did they move it under Vista?
Could have. I haven't. Be honest with you, I hate that program anyway.
I just found a link on how to disable the Windows Vista system.
And I know she also said here about getting it to run in safe mode. A lot of this stuff, if it runs in regular mode, you don't have to run it in safe mode.
Okay, well, it definitely does. I was trying to follow the security tango for
the
first
time. There's a number of folks that are having issues running it in safe mode.
Well, there's a big bold thing where it says restart in safe mode. It says some systems don't do safe mode for various reasons.
Yep.
If you can't get into safe mode, don't worry. Just keep on keeping on.
Yep.
So but you don't have to get into safe mode.
No. I told you I had long rant.
Yeah.
That's
stay tuned, folks.
Sometimes the malware will embed itself so deep into Windows that you have to go into safe mode to remove it. But sometimes you don't. If it's not embedded that deeply, just running it in regular mode
works.
And
sometimes you can't, and that's when you have to take it into somebody like Dave or Steve.
Yeah.
So I'm not missing anything by not being able to get into safe mode.
No, not at all.
Okay.
This is the easiest way to disable system restore. You go to the search command and type system, because nobody knows where anything is anymore, so you let Windows search it for you. So one of the results will be system restore. And you can open that up, and there's a checkbox that you uncheck, and then Vista warns you, are you sure you want to turn that off? And you can say yes.
Again, they moved so many things that were very convenient. They were labeled correctly, like add remove programs. Well, in Vista, they changed it to programs and features. What the hell was wrong with add remove programs? It said what it did.
Well, it didn't say anything about features. It just said programs.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
I
you, Wendy.
Do that then.
Yep. My sympathy with you. I know.
And I did post that link for everyone else to be able to disable it.
It was ridiculous. I mean, yes, I can see change, but change that makes sense. And just to rename them just because it is a new system and they got to change this and that, fine. But not, you know, if it is named what it is, it's like they had to get more icons in that control panel, which are stupid.
And now the name is longer, so you can't read it anyway because it truncates it in the window.
Right. Right. And we'll talk about more of that stuff as we go along. But, yeah, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll probably do a little bit of Dave's rant maybe at this point. We'll also get to more phone calls. Chris has a correction to the thing he corrected last week. Or so, I don't know, something. I don't know
he
what's going
like
on.
He sounds like Microsoft.
Steve will still be surfing for porn, and I'll be trying to figure out how to log into Twitter. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave. And of course, Alex will be doing all the real work in her very own separate room so she doesn't have to get any closer to us than is mandated by law. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 17 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. And on these Ides of March, this is 1180 WHAM. Keep listening, and we'll be back on the other side of this stuff. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 21 minutes after the hour, ladies and gentlemen, strap yourselves in. Okay, kiddies, it's that time once again. Go get your footy jammies on. Grab a cup of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, and if we can slap them awake, I'm sorry to say it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle
Dave! Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We skipped last week, but the week before, you know, I went on the rant or encouragement of different folks to, wise up and take control of their computer. You know, get it the heck out of the kids' hands. Well, the other thing that folks have to start doing, I should say, is, slow down! Take the time to read what's on the screens and what the heck you're trying to do. When a program says that it's going to take, 3 or 4 megabytes of, you know, information to install on your hard drive, and you've only got 128K. Yes, it's not going to fit. But you're so busy worrying about clicking to the next button, the next button. It's like, it's broken. What the heck did you do? I thought you were going to fix it.
What does disk full mean?
Well, this is the other part. Again, slow down and read. On the documentation that we gave you back, Hairbrain, it said you had to clean out some of your files.
And no, we can't help you because we don't know what you don't need.
Exactly.
Here's my favorite part. We just, our IT itself and the College of Business all are in the process of changing everybody's passwords. Okay. Everybody is calling us up and saying, I've forgotten my password. And then we say, what happens when you clicked on the forgot your password link? The what?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
see?
Right under where you put your password link that says, I forgot my password.
But again, they
what
don't
do you think might happen if you click on that?
And again, they don't take the time to read. They're in such a GD hurry.
I don't have a password. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
The computer may have been remembering it for you, but you have a password.
Should we change I've forgotten my password and I've forgotten I have a password? Either way, click on the link.
I think we should stop computers from remembering passwords, and then they would have to themselves.
Exactly.
But this is the whole point. You know, again, folks have to take the time to slow down and see what's on the screen.
How hard is that?
Or if they read something in a document that they printed off, read it fully. Yeah, just don't quick scan down the bottom. Oh, here's the part that I want.
Yeah, people don't read anymore.
Yeah, two paragraphs on up, it told you the other things to kind of watch out for, diphead.
All righty, kids. That's it. Hold them down. We'll give them a shot. Hold them down. All right, there we go, kiddies. There we go. Back quietly away. Do not turn your back on them, but don't look them in the eye and don't show fear. Put your mugs in the sink. Get your footy jammies off and back into your regular clothes. And we will lock him up in the closet again for
Uncle
another
Dave's
week.
Not blinking.
Uncle Dave, but that's not foam coming out of his mouth, just a little bit of toothpaste. Don't worry, kids. Don't worry about a thing. All right, we are back to the phones, and our next caller is Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Oh, fantastic now.
That's good. I am having a problem with getting my Internet Explorer. I tried.
Congratulations. That's actually a good thing.
Yeah. It's good for the kids, I guess, right? Yeah. The problem is it's not allowing me to display the web page. I've contacted Roadrunner, and I've contacted Microsoft by Internet, and I've done all the stuff they've explained to me to do. I've actually tried to restore my computer. It only goes back to about 5 days ago.
Display a web page, what do you get instead?
It says Internet Explorer cannot display the web page. Most likely causes are,
yeah, right,
you know,
right.
You're not connected.
Can
to
you
Internet.
Get mail?
I do get mail, and I am able to send mail as well.
Have you tried a different browser like Firefox?
No. How would I get to that if
right,
I...
right, yeah, you should have had that already.
Do you have another computer in the house?
I do not have another computer in the house.
You do?
I do not.
Oh.
There's one thing you can definitely do, which is to go to a friend's house, get them to download Firefox and burn it to a CD
or
put it
drive.
On a thumb drive for you. Then install Firefox and see if that works. If it does, the problem is in Internet Explorer, and I suspect that it is, because if you can get email, you're connected to the net.
No, I tried downloading Internet Explorer 7. Again, I downloaded that onto a thumb drive at the library, brought it back to the computer, brought it back to my home computer, tried downloading that. Obviously, that didn't work out, so Firefox may be able to help me out with this.
Yeah, it should be. Whatever the issue is, and it may well be a registry error, Internet Explorer has a problem getting places. Now, the other thing I would suggest you do is Firefox should get you back on the web. And when it does, the first thing you need to do is go to securitytango.com, click on Let's Dance, and dance the Security Tango. Print out that page and follow every step by step. It's possible that you've got some sort of virus that's damaged your registry.
Okay. All right. Because just prior to this happening, I had downloaded a free trial of Norton Antivirus 2009.
There you go.
Oh, that could easily do it. A lot of the Norton products and McAfee and the other...
are blocking everything.
Right. One of their features is to block the bad guys from getting in and out of your computer, and they often block the intended programs, too.
See, before you do anything else, then, because this puts a whole new spin into the equation, what I would do is do an uninstall of the Norton.
Yeah, I did that. I did the uninstall of all the spyware that I had and all the antivirus that I had. So I had a couple other spywares. I had Spy Subtract and...
And you got the firewall turned off?
Yep, I've got the firewall turned off. Yep, and I got rid of the Norton Antivirus.
What do you mean you had to buy Subtract?
Pardon me?
You said you had to buy something?
No. I got rid of Spy Subtract. I guess it's called Spy Subtract.
Never heard of it.
Anti-spy.
It's from Trend Micro.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, do that. Give Firefox a try and let us know.
Okay, I will definitely. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
And he's going to definitely want to run the malware bytes.
Right. And then we recommend that you keep using
Firefox. Well, you can't do any of that stuff till he actually gets on the web.
Well, while he's up there, while he's getting the Firefox, he could also burn the malware bytes to that CD, too, along with Super Anti-Spyware. While he's at a friend's, I mean, what the heck?
Right.
You can download all three programs, put it to one CD, and you'll still have tons of room. Right.
And we'd recommend staying with Firefox so that you don't run into the other issues that Internet Explorer has.
Right. And that's been something, of course, we've been saying for a very long time. One of the first things you should do when you get your new computer is install Firefox.
I put it in.
You can have multiple, right? You can have multiple browsers on your machine, and they don't interfere with one another. Our suggestion is Firefox, and you can make that your default browser. A lot of people nowadays like Chrome. A lot of people like Safari. We're still recommending Firefox for a variety of reasons. But any one of those is good. The real problem is that there are so many billions of copies of Internet Explorer out there that it's become a huge target. And the less of it you use, the better off you are. You got that target off your back. So that's probably your best bet at the moment. So for those of you who still have internet connections, download Firefox at getfirefox.com. That's getfirefox.com. And thank you. And download it and run it. All right, we're going to take another break. We will be back in a couple of moments with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, our guest, Paul Gasparro of MapleWorks. I'm Nick Francesco. It is the Ides of March, and it is 30 minutes after the hour, and we are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we have a very special guest on the line. His name is Paul Gasparro. He is from MapleWorks Technology. They're a leader in software development, outsourcing solutions and services for voice, data, and video convergence, network communications, telecommunications industry. Welcome, Mr. Gasparro, to the Soundbites program.
Good afternoon. Happy Ides. And I want to thank Alex for inviting me onto the show, and I'm looking forward to having a nice discussion with all of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Ides of March to you as well. Now, tell us, a lot of our folks are computer geeks, so when they hear outsourcing, their hackles rise. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the interesting take you've got on outsourcing?
Sure. The most important thing to remember about us is that we are located in Canada and in Canada's Silicon Valley. So what we offer is really expertise in a very specialized area. That is, as you mentioned, the network communications area, which includes voice, data, and video communication. So integration. So what we bring to the party is the ability to assist technology developers in getting new products to market in a cost-effective way. For instance, we have assisted a company that provides equipment to cable companies that enable the triple play. So we've worked with them so that they could deliver not only television or television services and internet services, but they could also provide your telephone services. But that company is very successful in providing those technologies, and it's because they were able to use expertise out of Canada in cost-effective ways that they were able to deliver that product and create success at their company. Their company is located in the United States. So the fact that they partnered with a Canadian company to develop this product enabled them to achieve success. Same could be true for a company that we worked with that provides security for wireless networks. Again, software we help them to develop helps to prevent rogue systems from jumping onto wireless networks. And they were able to create their product cost-effectively by establishing a partnership with MapleWorks in Canada because of our expertise and our ability to develop those products at a lower cost.
I like your slogan you've got on your website, the smart choice for onshore software development.
Right. And because Canada is our great friend and neighbor to the north, we don't have to worry as much about intellectual property stealing and things like that. You guys are a known commodity from our point of view, so that works out nicely.
And we haven't had a civil war in years.
Matter of fact, folks might want to go up that way to get away from New York State taxes.
Now.
I don't know about that. We have our own fair share of taxes.
I once got kicked out of a hotel in Toronto. We go to a convention every year up in Toronto, and we got too loud arguing about the VAT. The GST and the PST and the VAT, and the hotel detectives had to come and quiet us down.
Well, the incremental income tax is 50%, so you could be happy about the U.S. income taxes.
Right, no matter how bad we've got it, Canada's got it worse.
Taxes aside, you have less of a...
banks, I'll have to tell you.
What?
The banks didn't participate in the subprime mortgages, so
right.
Our banks are very strong.
I was going to say you have less of a language barrier, although there are some spelling problems that we have between us.
Yeah, we sprinkle U's throughout our language.
Yeah. Yeah. All our spare U's, we ship. It's a NAFTA thing. We ship them all up to those guys.
No, and a lot of Canadians, I know everything is go, eh?
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, that's
right.
Minnesota.
In the United States, you say, huh?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Right. So, you guys do voice over IP, as well as developing all that other stuff. How are you finding that voice over IP is something that is catching on more and more?
Oh, absolutely. You see every major telecommunication providers such as you know, Verizon, AT&T, right. BCE in the United States, are rolling out IP networks and voice over IP because it's a much more cost-effective way of delivering the services. And obviously, it's a very competitive market, and everybody is attempting to reduce their costs and to maintain margins, as well as, obviously, to buy market share. So we're seeing a lot of voice. We're also now starting to see video. We're ourselves are working on video products, video on the network, so that you could do not only streaming video but live video. In fact, we just have been developing a product with a company that was lovingly referred to as YouTube for surgeons.
Wow!
And the concept is that a surgeon could in real time view what's happening in the operating theater, either in terms of for the purpose of, I should say, getting trained or as a consultant. So I think, and what we're seeing is more and more video effort, video on demand from the telephone companies, video on demand from the cable companies, and more and more effort in the, as they say, IPTV.
Right.
So we're seeing more of not only voice over IP, but video over IP and other services and applications delivered over the IP network.
Well, yeah, I can see that, especially for, like, say, a doctor is doing some unique procedure, and right. There's an expert somewhere, totally in another country of the part of the world, and they could connect and see right. What's going on.
Well, the real problem with that, of course, is that it's got to be a very high quality video, which means mm-hmm. You've got to have a lot of bandwidth.
Yeah, now the bandwidth caps that are popping up around the country are.
Well, I suspect that they put in dedicated lines, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And also within the hospital community, they could have dedicated wireless networks or networks so that they have the bandwidth. And with MPEG-4, you do get pretty good high-definition video. So, it's not perfect, but that's the trend and that's the direction.
Right, right. And, what is exciting to me, honestly, is you guys are the pioneers. And then when you get it all perfected, it'll roll out cheaper to us.
That's right. And that goes back to the whole value proposition for MapleWorks is that we have expertise. And just if you're not familiar with the Ottawa area, which is the capital region in Ottawa, mm-hmm. It's also referred to as the Silicon Valley in Ottawa. And right. The reason is that Bell Northern Research, which was the equivalent of AT&T Labs, the Advanced Telecom Development Laboratory, was, in Ottawa. And out of that came a lot of technologists and other companies, such as Mitel and New Bridge, and then a lot of companies from outside the country, such as Alcatel and Ericsson, moved into that area. And so there's a very rich base of talent that is centered there and therefore gives the area the opportunity to provide these really specialized skill sets that allow us to make products that converge voice, data, and video.
We need you guys to come down and talk to our people here in Rochester because we've got an amazing array of talent down here.
Yep.
And we haven't figured out how to quite get it together the way you folks have.
Yeah, no.
In terms of that stuff,
if you look throughout the world, you'll find out that Ottawa and the Boston area, Silicon Valley, and Bern in Switzerland, certain other areas throughout the world are considered technology centers for this kind of voice, data, video, and the Ottawa area is considered one of the top.
Right.
And by the way, it also gets fed by some great universities like McGill, Queen's, Waterloo, University of Toronto. These are all really highly respected technical universities that are producing a lot of great engineers. In fact, as you do know, probably RIM is born out of Waterloo and still has its headquarters in Waterloo.
Right, and they're the folks, of course, who created the BlackBerry.
Exactly.
And we've seen one or two of those around this country.
Is that right? Being replaced by iPhones?
Yeah, not yet. No, the BlackBerry really does seem to be the phone of choice for the executives, you know. So that's pretty good.
So I mean, what you get out of the working with, and by the way, remember that Canada is the U.S.'s number one trading partner.
Right.
So we have a very close partnership. In fact, Obama's first visit outside the country, as you know, he went to Canada to reinforce the fact that there is a close trading relationship. And so the partnership between MapleWorks and most of its customers, 90% of its customers, are in the United States. That partnership is a very strong partnership that yields a lot of positive results. In fact, in general, it creates opportunity in the United States and creates more jobs in the United States because it enables the company to operate more profitably, therefore to grow, and therefore to create more jobs.
Right. All right, I'm afraid we have to go. Last thing, MapleWorks.com is your website.
Exactly, and thank you all very much. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I appreciate you letting me come on the show.
It was a joy for us, too. Thank you so very much. Have fun.
Happy Pat's Day, too. Huh?
And you, too. It's Paul Gasparo of MapleWorks.com. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, it'll be your phone calls with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel, who is doing yeoman service back there, keeping us on the straight and narrow, and of course Chris Reich, who does the podcast every week. I have no idea what he thinks he seems to enjoy it. He doesn't know any better. Apparently has a lot of spare time. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 45 minutes after the hour. You continue, for no discernible reason, to listen to the greatest computer show in the known universe. Say it with me. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on IRC. We're on the web. It's Soundbites at 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And at 50 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Our next caller is Bruce from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question?
Yeah, a couple quick questions. I just bought a new computer, and I'm running Vista Home Premium in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when people send me emails, they send them Microsoft, I guess, or spreadsheets, and I'm unable to open them. Is there any other programs available for them?
You have to buy the same program they have. So if they're using Microsoft Excel, you have to buy Microsoft Excel.
Or you can download OpenOffice.org.
Right, or you can download a free program like OpenOffice.org that will read the format. Or you can ask them not to send it in a proprietary Microsoft format and just send it to you as text or something like that.
What was the program you can download?
OpenOffice.org, and that's both the name of the program and the website.
It'll do word
OpenOffice.org.
Does word processing, spreadsheets, database, PowerPoint, and one other feature.
Graphics, drawing.
And it's all free.
Okay.
And people won't know the difference. So you can
load and save all the word formats. So people won't even know that you're not on Office.
Okay, one other quick question. When I go to type documents where you have to, say you got a document, you got to type in the information.
Right.
It won't do it. I tried downloading Adobe, and it wouldn't do it. I don't know if there's any other programs.
What do you mean by documents?
Well, say you see I'm filling out a form for a visa or something, and you have to type in the boxes,
Filling out a form where?
From your computer, if you download information.
If it's some sort of Word document, then OpenOffice.org will handle it. But if it's a PDF document, then you need a product like Foxit, F-O-X-I-T.
Or the free Adobe Acrobat Reader.
Well, except that that's got that huge hole in it.
Yeah, well, no, they patched that this week, didn't they?
Yeah, maybe.
Right. So, for every document you try to open, you have to have a program to open that type of document, and each document uses different programs. So you have to know what you're downloading, and then you have to know what to open it with, and that's sort of the catch-22, is you don't know until you know.
Give Foxit Reader a try. Steve will put that link up on our website.
And for most typical Microsoft Office type documents. You can either purchase Microsoft Office or use, which is $400, which is annoying, or you can use the free OpenOffice suite for that as well.
So both OpenOffice.org and Foxit should give you everything you need. Okay.
All right. Great show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bruce. Our next caller is Rob from Webster, New York. Welcome, Rob. What's your question?
My computer will boot up. It's a Toshiba laptop. It'll boot up, and after it shows the post screen, it'll just go blank, and there's like all this spyware stuff on it, so I'm trying to have the disk to reset it to factory condition. So I want to take all my files, and I'm putting them on the thumb drive to transfer them to the other computer.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anywhere that I can recover the computer or without deleting all the files?
Yeah, well, you'd have to take the hard drive out and take it to somebody that can actually pull all those files and burn them to, like, DVD for you.
Okay.
If you have a second computer, you know,
he's
got to
have the hookup for the laptop.
Or you can bring it to somebody like Dave who can do it for you, but he'll charge you. Here's the other problem. If you have, in fact, got a bunch of viruses on your machine, they're probably in all those documents you're so carefully moving to the thumb drive.
That's where we would scan it first.
And if you bring it to somebody like Dave, he can not only copy those out for you, but clean them for you.
Okay.
And that's going to cost you a little money, but the fact is that if you're infected, and you're infected is as hard as you think you are, then you really, truly, seriously need to get some professional help in there.
Okay, and there's another computer. It's been in the office, which has a skylight, so during the summer it gets really hot in there.
Yeah.
And when it boots up, it'll show the loading screen. Then it'll go to the screen where it says that your computer, like, stopped unexpectedly, so you choose which configuration you want it to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
And right when it goes to that configuration, it'll just start to load. Once it gets to be on the loading bar, it won't go anywhere either. So.
Again, you might want to check the fans on there. Like you said, in a hot office, you want to make sure that the fans aren't plugged. And
because what I did was I opened it and I had vacuumed it because we had done remodeling at our house. So I thought there might have gotten a bunch of dust and the RAM and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. That might have been true, but it also is certainly possible that one of the fans has died.
Okay.
And so there is no more fan working there.
Okay. You'd have to take the cover off, turn it on, and see if all the fans are still moving.
Okay.
Okie doke. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Our next caller is Carl. And we don't know where Carl's from. Carl, where are you from?
You mean, where am I now or where am I usually from?
I don't care.
Okay, I'm in Charlotte right now.
Okay, good.
How's it going, Nick?
PG, how are you?
Oh, great, great, great. Hey, listen, Kupari, I got a question for you. I have an iPod. It's a classic. It's like a, I think it's a 120. 120 gig, all right, and I'm syncing it with a Hewlett Packard L2005 computer, you know, a laptop,
right,
and the problem I have is I downloaded a rental movie from iTunes, and it ran out before I, you know, the subscription, I started it, and I didn't watch it in time, so it erased itself,
right.
So I get the screen popping up every time I start things saying, your rental has been erased from your hard drive and so forth like that, and then it has a little acknowledge button, and I press the center button on the iPod, and I can't sync it to the computer now. Now, I can't even access the hard drive. I had it as a removable hard drive before where I could access stuff that I left on it, and I tried reinstalling all the USB drivers. I updated iTunes and so forth like that, and I even took it to another computer that had 98 on it.
Right.
I understand that you can possibly transfer files over from that way. It just recognizes it as a removable hard drive.
Right.
And it comes up in the my computer as a drive, but it will not, I can't access it because it comes up, it pops up, it says, okay, you have a G drive. Then I click on it, it says, please insert a
What's the operating system on the HP laptop?
That would be XP.
Oh, that should work. Steve, do you know what to do in that instance?
One thing I would try is in iTunes itself, delete that movie. It deletes itself when your timer runs out.
Right. I transferred it over onto the iPod because it was no longer on the computer from that point on. Okay, because you have to transfer it, you know, from the computer onto your iPod to watch it. And I guess I got tired. I fell asleep, and unfortunately, it ran out. And I didn't watch the whole thing, so it still had like about 20 minutes left to go. And now it just says, every time I turn it on, it says, the movie that you rented, all your rentals have been deleted or whatever like that, and it has like a little acknowledge thing. You press the center button, and then I can play all the music and all the videos that I synced before I downloaded that movie, but I can't do any. I can't sync it to the computer anymore. I mean, everything plays. The iPod right. itself plays and everything.
Yeah, the next step is probably erase and restore the iPod.
I tried that. It says it's restoring, and it goes back right back to being the way it was before. It doesn't erase. It doesn't reset. It says it resets, and it just goes right back to being the way it was before.
Now, you must not be hitting the right restore button, because that will erase the iPod and then resync everything.
Well, what I do is I hit the lock button real quick, turn it on and off, and then you hit the top button on the menu and the center button on the wheel.
Right, that reboots the iPod. So what you want to do is plug it into your computer and inside of iTunes use the restore button.
And that's exactly what I'm doing. It has a little bar that says, okay, we're restoring your iPod, and you see the little bars going across. And then it says, your iPod's been restored. And then it goes in and it says, your iPod has been corrupted, it needs to be restored, or you can try accessing it from another USB port or whatever. And
so there may be something wrong with the iPod. You may need to send it to Apple for repair.
Try a different cable, a different USB cable.
A different USB cable, good tip.
All right, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm afraid we are out of time. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel. I myself am off to a great afternoon of playing game show trivia. RochesterGameshows.com. My friend Tom is going to be at a sweet 17 birthday party I just happen to have been invited to. You can also see him at Facebook at Rochester Game Shows. I promised I'd give him a plug instead of paying him. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 59 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.